What's it been like? What's your 4th of July looking like this year, with everything going on with COVID, especially there in the United States?
Well, I moved from, for those who don't know, I'm from the District of Columbia, which is the capital of the United States of America, which typically is a pretty big celebration day, obviously Independence Day. So I actually moved here, though, from D.C. to L.A. this year. So this year I'm spending it on the beach, chilling.
Okay, hard to complain about that. So you mentioned you're from DC. You worked at the Washington Post for a while, and obviously you have a lot of roots in terms of sports in the DC community. So what was your reaction yesterday when you heard the news that the Washington football team seems to be moving in the direction of changing their name at long last?
I mean, I don't know that I would qualify it as the football team seems to be moving in the direction of changing their name. I would qualify it as the country has come around on understanding what the name actually means and what it represents to a lot of people. And the first time I really thought about this in terms of its renewed interest in terms of the topic was when NASCAR banned Confederate flags, because my first thought was, if they can do that with the symbol that is far more deeply entrenched into the history of the United States of America from a hate standpoint, as far as I see it, well, then maybe we are in an environment that is just plain not accepting of things that we view to be that ugly. And that football team's name is one of those things. When you think about the NFL, which already, from a reputation standpoint, isn't necessarily great, even though it's extremely popular. When you line up all those teams and you say, what's wrong with this picture? Dan Snyder's team is the one that obviously is.
Clinton, I feel like I had seen you tweet about this, and I'd heard a part of this conversation go on in a multiple arenas, I suppose, across the last couple of days. But when it comes to the difference between simply changing the name and actually recognizing that a derogatory name for an NFL franchise, that's not necessarily the same thing, right? Because of the harm that comes to the people who the name touches on. How do you get the idea as a radio host across to people who seemingly don't want to have that discussion?
I mean, I think the way you get the idea across is to just tell them the truth about how you feel. I mean, a lot of people have vested arguments in things that they think make sense, but like, I don't know anybody who's going to have a more vested argument in this than me. I mean, I'm a sports writer and I'm from DC and I care about the team, so I've just got to trust my instincts and my gut on that. But the reason why they aren't the same, those two things, is because I mean, I've read a story today just about how in, I don't know, Montana, 30% of missing women cases are Native women, even though they only make up 3% of the population. Like, to be able to draw the line between how we abuse and talk about and marginalize our Native communities is directly correlated to how we're willing to use their faces and stuff as mascots, And so, that's one thing. But changing the name just for the sake of okay, we want to move on so that we can all be happy and talk about this team without thinking about it, that's a whole nother. And so I don't necessarily know that they're the same thing, because if you change the name to something that reminds people of what the old name was, have you really done the work to make sure that they have an understanding of why the old name was bad? And that's a tricky one. I don't know, because I think that there's some level of convenience to doing it that way, but there's also something that's kind of weird about that. Like, I would feel weird if they named this team something like the Red Tails, because it's like, well, that's almost the same thing, and you're not even going to change the colors. Like, I don't know. It's a tricky one, but I don't know that they have to be the same. It's not even.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It definitely seems like, I mean, I think a lot of people, probably to a degree intentionally, when it comes to intentionally misunderstanding the situation because of how they feel the climate is around the world right now. But no, I totally agree with you that they're not necessarily the same thing. And I guess, Clinton, how much does the current name of the Washington team undercut what the NFL in general these days is trying to do when it comes to having Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, speak out in favor of anti-racism initiatives? I think your colleague at The Undefeated, Jason Reed, he put it pretty succinctly when he said that Dan Snyder has a fiduciary duty to the rest of the NFL and how he conducts his business. And this is definitely, at least right now, definitely a part of it.
Yeah, but I mean, to say that it undercuts it would imply that it's gonna build into the sort of, I don't know, rock of the past that is everything else the NFL is built on. I mean, it was 2 months ago when, you know, when Roger Goodell decided he finally wanted to say something, and it didn't even say Colin Kaepernick's name. So I'm not getting, like, too far down the line of, like, hardcore belief in the NFL's ability to be anti-racist. You know what I mean? And so, like, yeah, that's the incident that made this a lot more untenable, is that you realize, you looked around and you said, well, okay, if that's the stance you're going to take, then you might want to have to address this too. You know what I mean? Because you can't simply do one and not do the other if you expect people to take you seriously. So it undercuts it, yeah. But at the same time, it's not, you know, it's not like all of a sudden the NFL looks good in this scenario against Dan Snyder. That's not at all what's going on here. The NFL simply decided, hey, man, people are saying stuff about this now in a way that we can't not pay attention to because it's messing up the money in a way that it never did. So we're going to have to take this more seriously. I mean, I'm not so Pollyannish as to think that all of a sudden the NFL grew some sort of a compassionate brain on what is the relationship between power and portrayal of the Native American community. It's pretty easy to see that people just don't want to accept this outside of the larger realm of football, and football owners feel that they should probably get ahead of that, even though they're, I don't know, 30 years late. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not being stupid here as to why this might be. But at the same time, it doesn't matter if it ends up being ultimately the right decision.
So then I guess when it comes to, and you kind of touched on it when you mentioned how Goodell never really mentioned Colin Kaepernick's name in any of the things he said and any of the words that came out of his mouth, how much then does that simple fact that him going, not even being able to mention Colin's name, how much does that, I don't know if invalidate is quite the right word, but how much does that maybe make people kind of roll their eyes then when they see all of these different, like you say, initiatives that the NFL is trying to get into when you consider their past going back to 2016 and even before that, of course, during the league's history?
I mean, personally, I don't sit around looking for reasons to explain why things didn't go well with each person's argument when it comes to the goal of success and progress. I mean, so, you know, yeah, sure, it does to an extent. But, I mean, the larger issue here is that also I'm not sitting around waiting for the NFL to fix racism. The idea is that the NFL from the beginning should have just let people protest. Like, it didn't have to turn into this whole thing where all of a sudden everything they do has to be somehow in support or against of the cause or whatever you want to consider this awakening in America. I mean, the point was just, how about you just give more black people jobs and you let them protest? Like, all this other stuff is just kind of what the position you all forced yourself into by going so over the top when one guy decided to take a knee, you know? And so that's probably a better way of framing what it is I think anybody is doing in regards to the leagues here. You know, you don't always have to get credit for doing something when you could have just done the right thing to begin with and stepped aside or supported what was already there. And this is another one of those situations, you know, like Goodell is representing the owners, and Goodell will probably put himself in a position where, you know, he has to make, I don't want to say a decision for them, but he's going to have to say something that none of them are going to want to say out loud when it comes to this team name regarding Washington. And that's probably going to be difficult because I'm sure not all of them will agree with it, but you know, that's something that I think he's going to have to be able to do from his position because he can't do a whole lot. He's the one they represent. They pay his extraordinary salary. So, you know, he's kind of in a bind. But I think he's going to be able to convince them. They're like, hey, man, this is just not what we want to look like as a league going forward.
Clinton Yates is with us from ESPN and The Undefeated. And, you know, I've been – you see it on Twitter, and Twitter is not necessarily a good barometer for anything. But just in general, I'm seeing the words cancel culture thrown around a lot these days as it pertains to a number of different things. And you're going to have people say, well, oh, cancel culture strikes again, capitalizing on the moment to get the name changed on the Washington football team and maybe Cleveland's baseball team, maybe the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe the Atlanta Braves. And I just feel like it's – I just don't really know how to put into perspective all this talk about cancel culture. I feel like for the most part, a lot of people can't even really identify what cancel culture is, but just use it as a crutch to try and excuse or, you know, not defend something that they don't like when it, I guess, infringes on something that they have known for so long.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't approach things from the method of what goes wrong versus what goes well. So in every case of what you talk there about, I mean, to me, it's just about people who, you know, finally voicing who they are and expressing what it is that they think is important. And whether or not that cancels or whatever word you want to use anybody else is not important to what I think is the main goal, which is in hearing other people. You know, that's really what that's about to me. I guess that term that you use is something that is really just about people who are otherwise not used to facing consequences, having to face them. And that's not something I'm going to spend a lot of energy thinking about, because I'm not that kind of a person. I mean, I'm black. I grew up in America. Like, there's no world in which, like, I'm not very familiar with how easy it is to lose your life or have your freedom taken. So I don't really get too caught up in the people that can't understand sort of, I don't know, academically what that concept means. I mean, you know, what we're seeing in America is not about cancellation. It's about the agency of various people who had otherwise been overlooked finally getting some time to be highlighted and to be recognized, which is healthier overall for everybody.
Absolutely. Very well said. Appreciate that. I want to talk a little bit of baseball, because I know you're a big baseball guy. And, you know, being in the Washington area, coming off of that World Series championship last year with the Nats, and now no Ryan Zimmerman, and now David Price has opted out. Mike Trout has reservations. Lots of players, I'm sure, do. And we've seen Freddie Freeman, one of the best players in the league, test positive. Just overall, how are you trying to come to grips with a sport that we all love, America's pastime, trying to stage a pretty cavalier season with travel, 60 games, all of it, with everything that's going on?
Well, you know, I mean, the different machinations of how everything is sort of gone on over the last few weeks is kind of very different than what I first thought about this, which was, from the beginning, I never really trusted Major League Baseball with this, for one simple reason. I was at work and I was covering a game between the Nationals and the Yankees, spring training game, and before that game, I think it was like 3 days before, four or five players from the Nationals had been golfing with the president. That had been reported as a site where they had been exposed to the virus. And it was 3 days later, I think, and they were in Florida, and they were, two of the guys that were on that trip were not only playing in the game, but were starting. And I was kind of like, I mean, that was all pretty obvious news. Like, this seems like a bit of a risk. And at the time, I sort of thought to myself, because they sort of cycled out earlier than usual in a spring training game, considering otherwise. But then in the second inning of that game, the commissioner canceled every single game of the season. And then they played the rest of the seven innings of the game. And I was like, hold on. You just decided to cancel the entirety of the season, but for whatever reason, we have to finish the game we're at right now that actually involved people that were at a site that we know somebody contracted the virus from? Like, I, at that point, I was like, I don't really know that I trust MLB to be able to get through anything, because they just don't understand what it's going to take. So when it comes to guys opting out, yeah, I get it. You know, a good enough reason for me to not play in a pandemic is simply not wanting to do it. And I don't need all these other excuses, because the health risk is obvious. And so I think there's going to be more of these people than you think. I'm saying this from the beginning. I talked to a bunch of players who were just kind of like, yeah, man, take it or leave it. This is not exactly something great. I know that I love playing baseball, but if it's something I want to do longer, doing it in 2020 might not be the right move.
And I guess, kind of with that regard to that, Clinton, with David Price, and we're talking about him and Freddie Freeman already having gotten the virus, with Price now deciding to opting out, do you think that will make it easier for some of these players, like you said, you've spoken to actually come out and follow suit and say, you know what, I think I'm gonna do the same thing?
You know, it may be. And Price is the kind of guy who's a veteran. He's well-liked around the league in terms of, from a player standpoint, and always sticking up for guys. That's a good point. That could be, because, you know, it's not that it's going to take a bunch of guys doing it to really affect, I don't want to say change, or to really affect sort of a marked competition distinction on the league. It's just going to take certain guys doing it. And, you know, and if Ian Desmond is one, and Ryan Zimmerman here is another, and you know, next thing you know, you've got 10 or 15 quality veterans who are just not playing in a 60-game season. Well, then you've got a kind of different season, which is fine. But, you know, I don't think it has to – it's not going to take a deluge of players to all of a sudden make the big league competition completely different. So, I mean, I'm happy for anybody who's willing to stand up and say that, because the bottom line is they probably shouldn't be playing. And if they were going to play, they probably should have tried to figure this out a lot longer ago so that they could have, you know, adjusted something on the fly. Now everybody's going to get out there, and if they have to shut it down, it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to restart it. That kind of sucks.
Clint Yates is with us. And one of the things, certainly the fan base here in this city and us and just in general, if you're around the Blue Jays, has been struggling to kind of come to terms with how we're supposed to process and digest the news that the federal government has granted an exception to the Blue Jays to come from Dunedin in Florida, which is arguably the worst hotspot in the States right now, to hold training. But we're not sure about regular season games. And there's this whole plan to quarantine. I'm not sure if you ever been to the Rogers Center in the hotel that overlooks the stadium, and then just basically look at it as a big home with your backyard being a baseball field, which I suppose in theory makes a lot of sense. My big thing with all of these sports is just, well, what's the, if you're going to pull this off in a bubble or in a quarantine type situation, what's the level of enforcement? And are we really going to make grown men, professional athletes, you know, promise that they're not going to go anywhere or do anything? The whole thing just feels very, icky to me. It's very, very strange. Obviously it's unforeseen, so we have no idea how to process it. But for me, it's just been such a struggle to really understand how to even approach talking about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, not going to lie. I mean, when I'm thinking about Canada and what I'm worried about in terms of quarantines, I'm thinking about pucks, you know? I mean, the Blue Jays, whatever. But, like, I'm out there, I see news in Canada where, you know, British Columbia, they're saying we're not changing anything for hockey, and all of a sudden Vancouver is out as a host city. I mean, the lucky thing for Toronto is that they've only got one team that's going to have to deal with it. I mean, you know, there's one baseball team there that can kind of pull it off. And so, like, sure, the Rogers Center might actually work. I don't know. That seems like kind of the safest situation at all. But, I mean, I'm asking you guys, like, how the hell is the NHL going to pull this off with Toronto possibly being one of the places is what I'm wondering, considering everything else we're talking about, never mind another sport coming in town.
You know what? It's a really a good question. And based on the plan for their bubble, it's a little wider than I would have thought it would be, especially here in Toronto. I think the one in Edmonton's a little bit tighter. But it's just, you know, hockey, they're sharing dressing rooms. I understand they're gonna clean and disinfect as much as they possibly can. It's just, yeah, I think there is some doubt about, you know, the ability to ensure that this thing is pulled off as best as it can possibly be. And all these guys want their families around, but hockey players in particular, it seems like, are very regimented about their summers having, for family, they plan having kids around the off season being in the summer. And it sounds like that, as much as anything, has been one of the biggest pitfalls or reservations that some of these guys have. And they still haven't voted. They have to vote to pass it about whether this is the best idea.
The reason I brought it up is because I wonder, I mean, I don't look, you know, for as much of a hockey fan as I am, you know, being an American, you know, having been a fan of the game for three decades, you know, that's still not like the cultural base that hockey is where you are. And I just wonder if I actually fear this as a hockey fan, that like leaning on Canadian cities is going to be more than just a safety thing. It's going to be an emotional ploy. That's a little bit unfair, probably, to some of those towns in terms of knowing that they're going to want to watch people play hockey and knowing that they might take a couple of extra risks for something that's a little bit closer to them. That's what I think about when I think about Toronto and I think about quarantine and I think about, you know, COVID, not the Blue Jays or Dunedin at all.
Totally. That's fair. And I think that there probably is like a section of people who very much feel that way. But I've honestly been struck by how many sports fans that I've talked to or have heard who, even despite their love for hockey or basketball or baseball or whatever it is, and especially as it pertains to the Blue Jays coming here in the Hub City, that have some concern about it and would say, you know what, as much as I want hockey and I want the Leafs to have a shot here to really do something special, I don't know if this is necessarily the best idea, and I might be prepared to sacrifice getting it if it means keeping my city and my family safe. I've honestly been surprised actually at how much of that I've ended up hearing.
Well, that's good. I mean, the only reason I say that is because I have a quest in this scenario to normalize disengagement from things simply based on the reason of they just don't want to based on health. I mean, so when you ask about David Price and you ask about all these other people, it's like, dude, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. It's a good enough reason not to do it because we're in the middle of a pandemic. And I just wonder, everybody I talk to, I wonder where that attitude is, where they come from. So I appreciate it.